You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 140. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
We've got a 1E tournament that does not involve the Next Generation to talk about. Our sources say that they will be getting us information to discuss about probably the next 2E set midway through the show. And we'll go over a recap of the summer regional draft game. But let's start with 1E. I played it.
You did, and so did I. We kind of played different facets of the same deck.
Yeah, but we didn't have to play each other, which is good, because you would have known what I had before I did. Because I was playing your deck that you had given me a copy of through Lackey a while ago. It's the lots of downloading and playing people, the Terran Empire, the classic Terran Empire deck that you ran.
Yeah. Now, I didn't actually play you, but I did sit next to you a couple times, and did you like run Dilemmas and all? Because it sounded really familiar when I kept hearing missions
yep.
get attempted next to me.
Yep. Because I had a build that I was working on with changing out. I think you left room for 16 Dilemmas, is that right? I think, in that build. And
yeah,
I was going to change out. I was going to lose a seed card and put in the Dyson Sphere and then put in a couple of downloaders to kind of pad it out a little bit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that didn't work out. I didn't have enough time to do that, so I just copied it card for card. And you know what's funny? The dilemmas that you chose were from a different set of dilemmas that I used in my 30-card dilemma deck.
Wow, all different,
yeah.
Huh?
Either they were all different, or I happened to have an extra card, maybe because it was printable or something. But yeah, that was kind of cool. So I know Franklin borrowed my deck to run, and I had no problem completing the build of yours. So great.
Nice.
I have to say that I felt like I had this unnatural confidence when I was playing the deck, because it felt like, all right, I'm going to play cards and I'm going to draw cards and I'm going to attempt missions. And if I don't get them, I'll just get them with the next team and then I'll be done and I will have won.
It's a nice feeling, right?
Yeah. You know, cause everything just kind of drops and happens. And I added a bunch of handshakes because I thought it would be great to be able to just dump my hand and draw a bunch of cards that play for free.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out as well as I'd hoped because I couldn't draw them. And also, I'm a horrible player and could never remember to process ore at the beginning of my turn.
Yeah, see, that's the big thing is I think I didn't... first off, I'm not a big fan of handshake to begin with, but we can talk about that in a moment. But the other big reason it's not in there is it's a bad probe
mm-hmm.
for Dabo, which I used to rely on heavily to turn the corner. And, you know, if you're ditching your hand, a lot of times early in the game, you know, if I don't know what I want to ditch, I can ditch things that are downloaded and they get processed back in my deck by the time I want to download them.
Sure.
But if you're doing the second part of handshake, then you're, as I discovered with my version of the mirror deck, you know, if you're ditching a lot of cards, then cards don't come back as quickly when you're processing ore.
Yeah, yeah. My first game was against Nate, who was, you know, learning to play his deck. So I kind of learned to play it, my deck as well, but my deck was better. So I won. The second game I played against Matt, and he was playing his great Enterprise E deck with Sona and... I think I solved a mission, and then he solved a mission, and then he launched the Phoenix. So he was ready to do a mission and win the game.
Yeah.
And I beamed myself to the Alpha Quadrant. I downloaded a Maquis Raider. I went back in time and I blew up the Phoenix.
Nice.
And it saved me the game because I won 45-43, I think.
I really wanted to do that, but our space lane was so messed up. Couldn't get that far.
It was a lot of... Everyone got stranded. It would have taken me another turn or two to get them back and try to solve another mission, but that was a lot of fun. The interaction in that deck is entertaining because you can just fly around and shoot people and maybe get the painting on the wall. What is that?
Tantalus Field in the Alpha Quadrant is a boon.
Yeah, that was fun. I didn't get to use it because his Defiant was cloaked everywhere, but the threat of it was there. The threat of it was there against Johnny, too. He steered clear when I played him in the last round. But, man, I couldn't draw anything in that game, and I was forgetting every turn to process ore. So, you know, downloading with the Gnor and with Homefront isn't so bad if you can process ore at the beginning of your turn.
Yep, exactly.
But if you forget, then you get nothing. So,
yeah,
that was rough.
Yeah, it's nice to have those sites there and know that even if you don't, you can. You know, if you hit a dilemma where you're short of science or you need a medical or, you know, they killed all your security and you need one to solve, you know, you next turn it's there.
I was doing a lot of using the special downloads and wait until I need them for personnel.
That's the way to do it.
Like they see the ISS Enterprise and there's very little chance you're not going to get somebody who can fly it on the first turn. So I didn't even bother getting Kirk to start. I just throw somebody down and fly a few things back and then wait. I think at one point I hit a Founder Secret or something, and I had like 40 strength, but I downloaded Spock, who downloaded a Mirror Dagger, and Scotty downloaded, or someone downloaded a phaser, and and all of a sudden I was at like 75, and I was like, wow, that was, I seem to have, you know, used everything, but I walked through the dilemma, walked through the mission, and we're going onward. It was fun. I had a good time with your deck, and it was a rough game against Johnny. I think it was I made a lot of poor decisions and made a lot of unremembering, so that was tough. But I had a good time overall. You said you were playing a different version of the deck?
Yeah, I'm glad you had fun because now you see why I like to play them so frequently. I kind of feel bad because I may have set Johnny up for you, or vice versa. Set you up for Johnny because I played him in the second round right before you, and I kind of had my way with him. He really, he won the game, but I was the victor, and I'll stick to my story on that one, whatever he may say. I was playing. I discovered in the Talos tournament online recently, which was limited to the last two sets. They're doing the add a set every time. That the TOS, regular TOS, and mirror TOS actually work really well together.
Yeah.
Because all of the TOS stuff, you know, it just says as long as the person has a TOS icon, then they get the benefit. So all of the mirror guys get the benefits from the regular TOS stuff. And, you know, usually they have all the equipment and everything. But if you can get the regular TOS personnel in there too, or ships or whatever, it can be really potent, all of them working together. So I was trying to work out how to get that in there. And at some point I realized I needed, to do everything I wanted to do, I needed five planets.
Okay.
Because there were the three mirror planets, because you got to have the time location at one, you got to have the station at Bajor, and you got to have the headquarters at the Terran hideout.
Yeah.
And then you need to have Sherman's Peak.
Oh, you need Sherman's Peak, right.
And then if I wanted to go jump through the Guardian, I needed to have historical research.
Yeah.
So it was a matter of, do I cut the gateway and just go back in time, you know, with the vortex? Do I cut Bajor and skip the Gnor? Do I cut the Terran hideout and only go TOS guys? Which, in retrospect, I think if I played this deck again, I might try that. Even though it's
one less... just play the TOS guys,
yeah. I almost cut Bajor and went without the station, but losing the processing ore and losing the you know, get a guy when you need him, you know, it's just so against my nature playing that deck. So I was like, well, this is the last chance before TNG comes out and you can download a balancing act. I'm going to go all planet.
Right. I think I remember hearing Franklin complain in the first round about that.
It was pretty funny. He sat down and was like, okay, this should be quick. My dilemma should be pretty quick. And I was thinking in my head, oh, really? But, and he was like, we finished that game, and he was like, I was surprised how long I held you off. But because he was playing your all dilemma deck,
yeah,
his numbers made up for, the having to rearrange the space combos into miss seeds. Now, if anybody was going to be running a balancing act, I knew it was going to be Johnny because he played All Planet like 2 or 3 1E tournaments ago and was like, man, this is just too powerful. I'm running a balancing act in every tournament now. And he ran the table. Like, he beat everybody 140. I felt karmically a little unjust that not only did he held me off, but he ended up winning. But I lost that game -10-0.
So you had climbed back to -10?
Yes. Well, he didn't hit that balancing act because I was like, I figured he'd have it, but I don't know where it is. He went and hit it his own because I didn't hit it like at the last minute. And I actually made a misplay. I was going to go to that mission and solve it, and I just didn't. It was funny, though, because he didn't seed. He was playing Earth. He was playing TOS, but he also had Earth and the president, Office of the President, and, the Fed free reports. But he hadn't played a secured homeworld. He didn't, like, actively go after Earth, and he had the Sona.
Yeah.
Thing out, and so I was like, maybe he's just using it for the headquarters. Maybe he has no intention of going there, as I was seeding. And I was like, looking at my secure homeworld that I usually play on Terran Hideout, and it says, play on a mission. Your personnel may report, play on a homeworld. Your personnel who match that homeworld may attempt it with these requirements. I was like, it doesn't say it has to be my mission, so I played it on his Earth. And seeded dilemmas that I knew I could pass, but would still give him trouble. And then it was.
I see. So you stole his Earth?
So I stole his Earth.
That's funny. I was wondering if, since you had that 40-point mission that people kept to be salivating over, did anybody try to steal historical research from you?
Yes. That was where Johnny put his balancing act.
I see.
And so at the last minute, he went over there and started attempting that. And I was like, this is going to be funny if it ends 40-40 because we stole each other's missions.
Right.
At the end, I was less entertained because he was just hitting his balancing act. But it was actually, it was Edo Probe. Maybe it was balancing act Edo Probe. Yeah, so he hit the balancing act and then he stopped at the Edo Probe. But Edo Probe doesn't say this mission can't be attempted. It says you must abandon this mission attempt or lose 10 points. I had to read it very carefully. So that meant there was only one more dilemma under there. I just had to get over there.
I see.
And as it turned out, that last dilemma was a misseed. So I really just had to get there and do the points. And I misplayed my cards. I played a guy for free to K7, and then I used my card play for temporal shifting, and I should have waited. I should have temporal shifted because I drew into a ship and I needed the extra range to get over there.
Because
I could get as far as agricultural assessment and I could have gone back, switch ships, and then come over and solve that. As it was, I had to just throw everything at a mission. Because of the way the space lane was, he had had his transporter inhibitor.
Mm-hmm.
Which, he uses for his duck blind, to protect his duck blind.
Right.
Which didn't help because I had the Tantalus field. So instead he had plunked it down on the other alpha mission I wanted to do. And so I couldn't get down there. But yeah, I had very much Tantalus fielded him into submission.
Yeah.
Which may have...
I didn't Tantalus field a single person the whole tournament.
I was very strategic.
Yeah.
I picked off his, so was picking off his Sona, so he couldn't do the metaphasic, and then he started attempting with normal requirements, so I started picking off his diplomacy, and then they got stopped with the game, which is still a trick that I learned from you and use frequently and never regret it.
What's that again?
Just
what's that now?
Chula the game. It's just a great dilemma.
It is a very good dilemma, yeah.
I like to put that after lack of prep.
Sure. Yeah. You know what also never happened? You've got that combo in there of the Ferengi Ingenuity and flipping what's the ref card that makes
access
it bad?
Denied.
Yeah. Not a single person hit that combo. So I didn't have to figure it out on the fly once.
Oh, good.
Sure.
Well, I mean, good that you didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was interesting. I actually kind of wanted to see how it would work, but no, it was pretty good. Anyway,
yeah, that's
I had an interesting time.
Especially with that deck, that's also a good combo to put under a duplicate mission.
Because it's pretty easy.
Yeah, if they're not running Access Denied, you can pretty much cruise past that with like three or four people in your deck. So, well, cool. It sounds like there was a lot of them there. So, you didn't play Charlie either?
Nope.
So there were three different mirror decks there, and none of them played each other.
Wow.
Talk about a missed opportunity for interaction.
Yeah, I would have, because he was playing KCA, right?
He was.
That would have been entertaining.
I was entertained nonetheless.
Very good. Well, congrats to Johnny for defeating me in the final round and taking the tournament. And where did you place?
I think because of my timed wins, I ended up in fourth.
Okay. Well,
but
meh. Yeah.
There
awesome.
Were three people at 2-1.
Yeah, there were somehow eight of us that showed up for the tournament. That was unexpected. Thanks to Nate for showing up and making it balanced, and Franklin for coming out of nowhere to play as well.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And a good celebration for the next set to come out.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you want to take a look at the regional draft totals? I bet you do.
I think I do. I noticed I was looking at... I haven't looked at the spreadsheet, but I looked at the results of a couple regionals this weekend, and it looked like some of my affiliations were showing up well.
Yeah, like really well. Like crazy well.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I don't think you could have chosen any better.
It doesn't
look
like
you're beating all the people who got to make up their own numbers.
Wow, really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the totals here, and the combination of Cardassian and TNG are just destroying everything. So, well played, sir. But we've got many weeks to go.
We do.
Currently, it looks like the folks that have a TNG and Cardassian are just making the most of it. 330, I think, is about the highest it gets if you're not you. I see a couple of 200s, a couple of 300s, but well played. We've got a long way to go. I got a lot of points in the Rangos regional because a lot of folks were playing Klingon, which hadn't happened yet.
I was waiting for that.
But a lot of folks were playing TNG too.
Until that Romulus was posted, I was like, I can't believe we have five regionals posted and nobody has played Klingon nobody has played TOS and one person has played Klingon.
And you know what still hasn't been played yet is the Borg.
Wow.
Which was one of the more pricey acquisitions.
Yeah. I'm guessing none of the European events have happened yet.
Yes. Well, we've got another slew of, looks like, four or five next weekend. Including ours. So I will be sure to play something that I have purchased.
I was just in the chat room this morning and yesterday, and I talking to two different guys who are like, yeah, I kind of want to play this, but I think I'm going to play this instead because I picked that in the draft.
That's hilarious.
So I'm glad to see that that people are following suit. I was going to do that, but I kind of feel like I'd be unfair at this point. You know, those are also really good affiliations, so there's no reason not to play those.
Yeah, yeah. I'm working on the spreadsheet now. By the time this goes up, it'll have some more tools, and it'll highlight who's in the lead in our little group and who's in the lead in the rest of the world. If you look at the second page, the one that's labeled Sheet 1, I also figured out what the normalized price that we should have paid so far for each of these. For example, we should have played zero for the Borg.
Oh, based on their worth of what they've accomplished so far?
Yeah, the price of TNG is up to $90.
Wow.
But I'm sure that'll change over the course.
74 for Cardassian.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got the two priciest ones so far. I think that's pretty funny.
Well, it is still very early, but I will take what lead I can.
Yeah, awesome. And like I said, I'll keep playing with the spreadsheet because that is what I want to do.
That is that's a lot of fun to look at and watch update. So thank you, Charlie and Brad, for coming and doing that with us and not bidding us
we're
up.
Looking forward to the wrap up at the end of the summer.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
All right, I have some interesting cards
here.
We
have a
Project Iron,
a new transmission.
Yes. So this is probably going to already have gone up by the time you're listening to this. So. We're going to talk about it anyway, since no one else has seen it yet. They're going to do, this was hinted at earlier, they're going to do a poll on the site. There are three cards here, and the public gets to vote on which one of these three cards stays in the design file and which two are cut as it goes into final testing.
Interesting.
So the caveat is they still have to be tested. This is probably whichever one gets voted in will probably possibly not be in the final form. We'll see.
But the concept will be there and we can move it forward to testing. Okay. Well, these are all very different cards. It's going to be interesting to choose based on their individual merits.
Yeah, I think I've chosen already.
Well, yeah, I've only really read through this first one, but I seem to like it a lot.
The first is the species gambler, this dilemma.
Yeah.
It's a three cost. It's a dual dilemma. The playtest name is species gambler, and it says randomly select a personnel, then choose a different personnel of the same species. Those personnel are stopped.
So right away we have what the chairman has been hinting about in this new set, Iron being very species-oriented. And benefiting from having a variety of species in your away teams or your crews.
I suppose if your away team is all different, then yeah, that would work.
Yeah, it's three to stop one instead of two. Two is pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if on the other hand, if all of my people are the same species, then sure, you'll stop somebody randomly, but then I get to choose who the second stop is, right?
True.
If I'm playing a moderate number, let's say I sent down eight people and I've got four different species there, you're going to choose one of them, and I'm going to be pretty stuck with who's going to get chosen next. I don't have much of a choice. So I guess you're going to want to be all or nothing here, right?
Yeah. I mean, even if you're playing a monospecies, even if you get to choose, that means I get to stop another person.
Yeah, fair enough.
Granted, we'll if you're, you know, you can set it up for anything that has stopping shenanigans, you know, oriented around it.
What, like a tragic turn or?
Oh, you know, like a ransom, you know, make sure you stop a Voyager treachery person so that you can stop ransom to unstop these two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, anything like that. Stop somebody that has a skill you want so that Romulan Lursa can take it.
A different personnel of the same species. Yeah, I think I... Ah, man, I don't know. I don't know if I like that, because like I said, you know, if I throw this against a Borg opponent, I'm going to get pretty much two people, one choice, one random, right?
Yeah.
There's no skill listed here, so it's not going to do much to, you know, damage Starfleet or that kind of thing.
True.
It's just a stop, so I can unstop them with all kinds of unstopping shenanigans.
That is like, true. There are no consequences. Or,
you could choose the, you know, the Romulan stooge and unstop them with an event or something from hand. Or.
Oh yeah, that's not cool.
Or if I accidentally choose an android, then I can choose Lore and say, "Ah, oh, he can't be stopped." It doesn't
that's
say
true. It doesn't say that choose a personnel to be sus. It says choose a personnel of the same species. So that's a wording thing that they could work out in playtesting, hopefully.
All right. Well, that's interesting. I guess it is a gamble, huh?
It is true. So it's not as cool and a sure thing as I thought it was. Well, let's look at these others. I mean,
All right. What we got next here?
This next one is a Mirror TOS.
How convenient.
2E, though. The playtest name is Mirror Bodyguard. It's a 2-cost fed personnel. Oh, Vulcan. Interesting. I don't remember seeing any other Vulcans, but it'd be nice to have, again, more variety of species.
So this is a random Mirror Vulcan from the TOS for Mirror?
Yes.
Huh.
I don't remember seeing any, but it's been a long time since I've seen it. You know, they could have just grabbed a random Vulcan and made him Mirror.
Or just grab a random person and give him 20 ears.
True. Oh, no, the hair is covering up his ears. They're totally pointed under there.
Yeah. Look, his blood is green.
Anthro Exo Med Navigation Security. Nice host of skills. No command star, or no staff star at all, which is interesting. While you command a AU personnel, you may play this personnel at cost +1 to name a unique personnel. That personnel cannot be killed by dilemmas until the end of this turn.
So kind of like was that personal force field?
Yeah. That's the one.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's
bodyguard +1.
Yeah. Or Tasha. Did Tasha do the same thing?
Yes.
Are you Tasha?
Tasha was, I thought, when you played her?
I don't remember. Probably so, yeah.
Or maybe you had to stop her to do it. So you had to go with one more person?
Right. Or bounce her to hand or something.
Yeah. Something maybe that was it. I think you bounced her to hand. Because I remember having to keep playing there.
Yeah. Anthro Exo Medical Nav Security. And he's actually 666 is pretty decent stats for a mirror guy.
Yeah. 5 skills, 6, and 2 cost is pretty good. Even if he doesn't have a staffing icon, play him for 3 and get protection for a turn if you know you're going to be attempting a dangerous mission.
Yeah, or, you know, if...
Are there any other kind?
Even if you're not going to be, you've got that, you know, you just got 2-coster for beef.
Yeah. Cool, well, I like him.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mirror TOS has been kind of rough. It has not been doing very well as far as an affiliation to be played as I've watched the achievement stats and people trying to pick that up. That's not one that has been very popular, so maybe this would be something that would help pick that affiliation up a little bit.
Yeah, they've really suffered from all the problems that TOS has of low-cost guys that get wiped out pretty quick with cadet hate on accident, you know?
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
They're both Federation, which, you know, there's a lot of Fed hate, and they're low-cost, and there's a lot of low-cost hate, so that kind of hurt.
Yeah.
I wonder how well you could mix a few mirror guys with the movie era TOS.
I don't see why not. You would come down to the choices of, you know, which version of a main you'd want to play.
Sure. And those guys are so, you know, tightly knit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're right. I think this is kind of cool. They only have one other Vulcan, right? And he's half Vulcan, half human. So that would be a good, new species for them.
Affirmative.
And you know, he would probably just work well into just a basic TOS deck with just even if you don't have the AU or the the AU, you still got a lot of skills and some reasonable stats for two cost.
Yeah, and you know, it's not like there's a lot of Vulcans anyway. You know, you can have Sarek and you can have Savik, but.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I like that one.
Cool.
And the last one. If you like Star Trek V, you'll love John.
You know, I don't know that that's true. I actually do like Star Trek V, and I'm not. He was one of my least favorite characters.
He costs 2. His species is alien. He's got 5 skills, so that's we're right on the same level we were with the Mirror Bodyguard. He has archaeology, engineer, geology, security, and transporters. Geology and transporters, that sounds like something I want to have. When this personnel is facing a dilemma that is about to stop all of your personnel, you may discard a card from hand to prevent a unique personnel present from being stopped by that dilemma. Wait, what?
If everyone's going to be stopped, you can save one person?
Yeah, you know why?
No.
So you can save, what's his name? His boss man from being stopped. What's his name? Cybok. Yeah. So Cybok isn't stopped, so then you can use Cybok's game text.
But only if it's something that's stopping everyone and going to go back under your dilemma pile.
Right. But see, the problem with him before was if everyone got stopped, then you couldn't use it to make him consume that, you know.
Okay. Well, that's kind of interesting, I guess. But he has to be there. That's a lot of effort to make that work.
It is a long way to go. That is a long way to go. At least he has a staff star. He's passed. He's got 5/5/5 for attributes. Huh. Boy, that is a lot of skills for some poor guy from a dust ball.
Well, he hasn't had anything else to do but learn how to be a geologist and an engineer.
But all he had was a gun.
Well, he had that thing that he was digging with, which is probably why he has archaeology and geology. He was digging for water, I think.
Sure, and you have to be able to be an engineer to use that shovel.
That's right.
And if you have a gun, you have security.
He's got to protect his land.
He stood in a transporter room.
Which is all you need to know
to
learn how to use a transporter, of course.
If you or I were beamed up right now, we'd be totally transporter skill people.
That's right.
If we were one of your characters. All right. Well, I think there's a lot here that, boy, it feels like a reach.
Yeah. It seems like they're trying really hard.
Then again, if you really like Cybok, this is exactly what you need to make him complete.
That is true. I mean, he does often feel like he costs too much. I've put him in the last couple decks, and I always get to him and like, man, that's a lot of 4 cost. Now, you know, he has a lot of skills, but I rarely end up using his game text.
He costs 4?
Yeah.
Wow. So your opening hand, you draw one, and you play John and Cybok, and you've got a lot of skills, and those dilemmas will not bounce.
Does Cybok have to do anything for that? Do you have to, like, discard a card, or... hop on 1 foot?
You know, I put him in one of my decks, but he was in the deck for skills and his cunning, and I didn't actually use him for anything like that. But, I mean, he's got a lot of skills, and he's got a lot of cunning. The fanatical missionary... When a dilemma that this personnel is facing is about to be returned to its owner's dilemma pile, you may remove that dilemma from the game once a turn.
So he's not facing it.
Well, it doesn't even go under. I'm not finding a lot to love from John here.
Yeah. I just didn't think that... I mean, I thought even if it was about to go under, he could still use his text before he was stopped. That's kind of weak.
Well, if it's something like, dignitaries and witnesses, and it's going to bounce because you didn't have enough leadership, everyone was going to be stopped, and then it would be returned. And now you can use John to say, no, Cybok, you go. And Cybok says, I'll play with you.
Yeah, no, I get it. I just didn't. Yeah. I felt like that should have already worked that way.
Should have been how it worked to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, of these three, I think I like Mirror Bodyguard the best.
I agree.
I think it has a place in both a TOS deck and a Mirror TOS deck. There's probably some trick to Species Gambler that we might be missing. But Mirror Bodyguard seems pretty straightforward. I like the. I think I would use him without the skill. I mean, if I wasn't. The lack of staffing might be a bit of a drawback, but he's just got so many skills.
Yeah, well, and there are a few AU guys that are worth playing even in a straight TOS deck, so you could put him in a straight TOS deck and still have the possibility of getting to use that. Oh, man.
Yeah, two costs, you hold them back. At least the ISS Enterprise or whatever Enterprise you're using doesn't have a lot of staffing anyway.
That's true.
All right, I vote for the Nameless Bodyguard.
Agreed. Go Vulcans. All right.
Go Vulcans.
Well, if you would like to place your vote for this, undoubtedly it will have been posted by the time this episode goes up, so go to the Trek CC website and pick this out and choose which card you would like to see go on to playtesting for Project Iron, which is the next 2E set.
Very good. Does that wrap up everything?
I think so. That is that's all we've got. I'm not quite ready to talk about my online games yet because I have still a few rounds to go. But
sure,
I will have online tournament reports as well as those get closer to being done. But suffice to say, I'm having a good time so far.
Excellent. Well, we'll have our regional update of our own next week.
Indeed. Gotta figure out what to play.
Oh, you know what? There's one other thing. Have you seen this Coachella performance of the Tupac hologram?
No.
It is phenomenal. And now I want a Tupac hologram with music. Anyway, that is completely unrelated, but I thought it was hilarious.
All right.
It was very well done. Go check it out on YouTube.
We live in the future.
Yeah. And it's probably not safe for work due to gangster lyrics.
Noted. All right. Well, that is clearly the end of Radar Intelligence for this week.
Clearly.
We will thank Warp 11 for being awesome and look forward to playing in our regional next week and bringing you a report on that. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I shall draw 140 to end. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31. Section 30. Ain't nothing but against the party.